Well, tonight, if you would please turn in your Bibles to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 2 tonight. And I've been looking forward to teaching this, to doing this lesson. It's one which I enjoyed very much studying and preparing for. And as I said, I've been looking forward to teaching this because it's the application for tonight is very true and strikes, I think, close to the heart of many of us. So if you're following along in the reading plan, then you're in Ezekiel now. You're about halfway through, probably about a quarter of the way through Ezekiel. You're somewhere around chapter 13-ish. Let me give you a little bit about the background, the historical background for Ezekiel and who he is before we dive right into the word here. Ezekiel's name means God strengthens, and that's a fitting name because of what God is going to use him for. He's going to be a prophet to a people who do not desire a prophet, who do not desire the word of God. He's going to be persecuted greatly. And God makes that clear at the very beginning of his ministry. And so he's going to need God's strengthening if he's to endure and to accomplish the work that's set before him. Now, he was a prophet, and he was taken into the Babylonian captivity along with King Jehoiakim. And that happened probably around, as scholars say, around 597 to 599 BC. And he began his ministry at the age of 30, and he continued for about 20 years of ministry, about the length of time that he was ministering and prophesying. I want to tell you a little bit about the purpose of the book of Ezekiel. Now, the book of Ezekiel is broken down into three primary categories, and today we're only going to focus on the very beginning of the first section, and we'll get into the others with our other lessons for the next 2 weeks. We'll be in Ezekiel. Now, the first thing is that Ezekiel was to warn God's people of the impending destruction of Jerusalem, which was very soon to come. But he also explains to them that God is going to respond to individuals based on their relationship to him. And one of the most powerful purposes, as I wrote here, the most powerful purposes of this prophetic book is that Ezekiel is prophesying that one day the Lord will make everyone to know who is God alone. And that is the one and the only, the great I Am, the one and only God. And I love this. This is one of the more popular verses in the book of Ezekiel. It's found in chapter 38, which we're going to be in chapter 2, but let me share this verse with you. 38 verse 23 says, and this is God speaking, he says, "Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations, and they shall know that I am the Lord." And that is a principle that we see throughout the book of Ezekiel. God is going to bring judgment. He brings warning. He is going to respond to his people. And all of this is to bring about this knowledge in the heart of man who God is. And that, of course, is one of the major precepts of the entire biblical narrative. So I've broken this book, the study tonight for our purposes, I broke it into two different topics, two different principles that I want us to take away from our lesson tonight. The first principle, and I want us to be able to grasp this, the first one has to do with God's Word living through you. All right? God's Word living through you. The title of our lesson, of course, is that God's Word is a living Word. So now we're going to first talk about God's Word as it relates to living through us. Join me there at the beginning of chapter 2, and let's read the first three verses. "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation, that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day." Now, note the next verse here. It says, "For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Now, you know what, let's go ahead and read 5, 2, and then we'll break this down, because I don't want to miss this. We'll come back to it. 5 says, And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. So here we see Ezekiel being called to be a prophet. And we see that his call comes to him, and God is telling him there in the very first verse, he says, Stand upon thy feet, and I will speak to thee. Now, what this is basically saying is God is saying to Ezekiel, get up. Get up and prepare for action. I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to bring my word, my will, my desire for you. And he's basically telling Ezekiel, you are to be prepared to act on the word I give you, not simply to hear it and do nothing. That's basically what he's telling him. Stand upon my feet, be prepared for action, and hear what I'm about to tell you. Now, this is a lesson for all of us today. We often read or we hear God's word and we know his commandments. We see clearly through the scriptures God's will for each and every one of our lives, the things that he has pleased with, the things that he's not pleased with. We see clearly what it is that he wants us to do as far as how we're to live. And then within our hearts, if we are close to God, if we have a relationship, we understand those things in our lives because of our relationship with God. We have a sense, we are able to understand what things we need to work on, what things we need to change, what sort of things we need to steer clear of. Even though the Word of God may not specifically address those things, it's because of our relationship with God that even when the Bible doesn't specifically hit on those certain things, we still know what God's will would be in this because we know God's desire and his character, right? Now, here's what I want us to see in this. Often, we will hear and know and feel God's will for our lives in these matters, but we fail to do what God has instructed Ezekiel to do. We fail to act on them. We fail to act on the Word of God far too often. Each and every one of us, this is something that we all struggle with. It is not enough to simply hear the Word of God, to be convicted by the message or by the Word of God, to acknowledge that a change needs to happen or that you need to take care of something in our lives and to not do it. James tells us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word, right? And basically what God is telling to Ezekiel here is stand, prepare for action. I'm about to speak unto you. And what I'm about to speak to you, take it into your heart and be prepared to act upon it. It's something that we all think about. And I put this little note here, and I want you guys to think about this. How many sermons have you heard over your lifetime? How many churches have you been in? How many pews have you been seated in and heard the Word of God spoken and been convicted, been stirred in your heart to take action on something in your life? Maybe you, it could be a multitude of things. Maybe you've been convicted on, hey, I need to, you know, get right with this, or I need to spend more time on this thing, or maybe I need to clean out some of this old media that I have, or maybe I need to, whatever it is. We could go on and on with the list of possibilities. But how many times have you been convicted or stirred by the Word of God and failed to do something on it? Maybe it's concerning the amount of time we spend in our Bibles. Maybe it's concerning our prayer life. Maybe it's concerning visitation. Maybe it's concerning giving the gospel. Maybe it's concerning other aspects of being a Christian, of what it really means. How many times have you and I sat in these pews, heard messages from myself, Preacher Fox, other men, and acknowledged that a change needs to be made, acknowledged that our heart is pricked, and yet we go about our lives and not respond and not act? It's a question that we all have to ask ourselves. And the question that follows that is, how long are we going to do this? How long are we going to hear the Word of God and feel God's pull on our lives and his direction and his gentle guiding of our hearts and fail to respond to it? Now, application. Here's the application for the Word of God living through you. If God's word is going to live through us, we must be ready to stand upon our feet and be ready to act upon the word and the will of God in our lives. Acknowledging God's will for our lives without action will never accomplish God's will through our lives. Let me say that again just so you can catch it, just in case you missed this. Acknowledging God's will for our lives, yet failing to stand and act, will never accomplish God's will through our lives. So we see here in the first two verses God's call on Ezekiel, his command for him to be ready to act. And I want you to take a look with me at verses 3 and 4. Let's break that down for just a second here, because this is packed. Even though there's only 10 short verses, it is packed with truth. So in 3 and 4, specifically, he says, "And he said unto me, Son of Man." There we see that title. That's a familiar title. Simply calling him human, man. "I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God." Now, I want you to notice something that I thought was important here, and it gives me a sense of assurance in the Word of God. Notice that God didn't sugarcoat the work that he was calling Ezekiel to. He didn't hide the difficulty. He didn't tell Ezekiel, "This is going to be simple. I'm going to take it all the way. Don't worry about it. I just got this little thing for you." He tells him, "I'm sending you to a stiff-necked people. I'm sending you to a rebellious people who have been rebellious and still are. This is the work that I have for you." In other words, he's telling Ezekiel straight to his face, right at the very beginning, "I have a difficult task for you. You will find difficulty. You will be persecuted. They will most likely reject you as they're rejecting me." He lets them know this right at the very beginning. Right at the very beginning. And that's something for us to think about in our own lives. God does not always call us to do something which is simple. In fact, many aspects, let me rephrase that, doesn't call us to do things which are easy. Everything that God calls us to do, I would say, is simple. It's not difficult to understand or difficult to perform. However, it is difficult in the struggle of performing it. There are, again, a plethora of different examples that we can use, and I have an illustration for you guys coming here in a little bit. Before we end the message, I've got a couple of illustrations. The things that God calls us to do are simple things, but they're not always easy for us. He never said that the work that we're going to do is going to be comfortable. Sometimes soul winning, it's not comfortable. It is not comfortable. It's not easy to go knock on a door of a house to someone who you don't know. As they come to the door and they have no desire to see you on their time off when they're not at work, and have you preach at them basically as lovingly as you can and give them the word of God. That's uncomfortable, okay? But we're called to go and give the word. It's not easy to love your enemy, but it's a simple thing to do. It's not easy to take time out of our own lives and of the things that are important to us and invest them into the work of God, into the things that God would do, invest them into other people and other things to show love. It's not easy to do that, but we're called to do it. And it surely wasn't going to be easy for Ezekiel to go and give the word of God to the people, a word that they didn't want to hear. But it was a simple task. All he had to do was go and speak. Simple, but not easy. And I want us to see the application for our own lives here. Get these things, okay, when it comes to God's life, God's spirit, God's word, living through our lives. God tells us very clearly, folks, what he wants from us, what his expectations are, and what we're to do, just as he told Ezekiel. And just like he told Ezekiel, he expects us. The expectation is that we will stand upon my feet and be ready to take action on the word that he brings to us. That's his reasonable expectation. He never promises it's going to be simple. He doesn't promise that it'll be without difficulty or persecution. He simply tells us what the expectations are. And that's what we see here in the very beginning. But if we want God's word to live through us, in other words, we want to see God will accomplish through us, we must be prepared to act on the word that is within us. Now, this brings us to the second half, and this is where we'll spend the majority of our time tonight, the second half of the message. But before we hop into that, take a look with me at verses 5 through 7. 5 through 7. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, and yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Now, I want to share something with you here. I love this part of chapter 2 for a very good reason. First, because regardless of how we respond to God's word, whether either we accept it or reject it, just as they were rejecting, they were rebellious, God's word stands forever. And it's important to me, I think it's very comforting to see that even though they were rebellious, and God says that they've been rebellious even to this very day, he is still sending a prophet among them. In the face of their rebellious hearts, their stiff necks, all the history of their going against God and denying God, yet again, he sends a prophet to them. Yet again, he has not given up. And I also like that it shows the authority of God. Basically, he's saying that even though you are rebelling against me, even though you have chosen to reject me, my word is true whether you accept it or not. My will is ultimate. My sovereignty is unquestionable. Go and prophesy. Go and speak to the nations. Now, I wrote a little something here. And here's what I wrote on this. Think about this for a second. It reminds me that for everyone that's redeemed, God has sent a multitude of merciful messengers. Think about that. These people, let's think about who they are, right? The people that he's going to, they're the Jews. They're supposed to be the people of God. Surely they knew the word of God. They've seen, some of them, or they've heard at least the stories that their forefathers have passed down of the wonderful miracles and the mighty acts that God has done, how he's provided and protected and redeemed them. They knew God. They knew God. Yet they continued to rebel and reject him. Isn't it the same for us, though, in how even in the face of that, he's sending this prophet again. He's sending yet another messenger. He is still working with his people to bring them to him. For each and every person in this room who's been saved, who has a relationship with Jesus Christ, this verse makes me think back on how many people, how many works and merciful acts of grace it took for God to pull me out of where I was and change me from the man that I was. I grew up as a preacher's son. I sat in the pews every day that the church doors were open. I heard the word of God through and through. I had a wonderful, wonderful mother and father who were excellent. I'm so blessed in having godly mother and father to nurture and to guide me. I had a multitude of preachers and Christian friends who were strong in the word of God, and God used every one of them, slowly pecking away at my rebellious, sinful heart. Though at the time I didn't hear it, I didn't listen to it, I thought I was fine, I was prideful. There was a wall around my heart to where I had convinced myself that I had the Lord, but my life was not as it should be. And I look back at this and I see God sending Ezekiel to this rebellious people. And I say, God, thank you. Thank you for sending every single one of those preachers into my life. Thank you for every blessing of mercy that you gave to me. Thank you for every time that you convicted me of sin. Thank you for every single scripture that was ever read to me in church. Because I don't know, I can't tell you today if it was just one that finally got through, but I can tell you that if not for all of them, the one that got through may not have. And I would bet that it's a similar story for every one of us here today. God is merciful, and that repeatedly, again and again, he does not give up on us, and he continues to send his messengers and his word to us in a powerful way. And I see that here all the way back in the Old Testament with Ezekiel. Aren't you glad that God doesn't change? Aren't you glad that that God of mercy and of grace, who never gives up, who is continually forgiving and loving, is continually giving us opportunities, continually sending himself out there to pull us to him? Now, one day judgment's coming and the opportunity's going to pass. God isn't going to change. It says that God is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's not going to change, but our opportunity to respond is what's going to change. I praise God that he sent an Ezekiel to me many times and to you. So that's what comes to my mind, and that's one of the reasons that I think this is one of the most beautiful parts of chapter 2 here. That's what I think about. The second part that we're about to talk about, I told you a minute, we're about to get to the second half, is that God tells us not to have fear. You notice that there in verse 6 and 7 specifically. He talks about the work that he's sending Ezekiel to do, but he tells him not to be fearful. He says not to have fear, for he's going to be with him to accomplish his will. Now, some things to understand about this. First of all, let's take a look at what Ezekiel's dealing with so that we can better appreciate the words that we see given to him in verse 6 and 7. Who is Ezekiel going to speak to? Notice that he says, though you live among scorpions. The people that he was going to speak to were his friends and neighbors. They're not. He wasn't like an evangelist or something who's going to come to the church, give you the word of God, convict you mightily, tell you something you don't want to hear, and then be gone the next day. No. He was going to live with these people. He had been living with these people. Some of these people were his friends. Some of these people were close with his family. These are people that he was going to be dealing with continually. So it was not going to be easy. He wasn't going to be able to just be like a Jonah and go and tell them the word and then go back. He was going to have to preach and to prophesy of the impending judgment of God on his friends and neighbors, on his people who he lived around. That's a dangerous and a fearful thing, especially for people that are rejecting God and want nothing to do with your doomsday prophecies, your words of judgment that are coming down. So that's one thing. But note there that in verse 6 and 7, it says to him, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. I like this. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions. So note that we see here again, he's making it clear, Ezekiel, you are going to be in a difficult position. You're going to have persecution. You're going to be in danger, all right? It may cause you emotional pain, physical pain. I'm going to put you through the ringer, so to speak. He said, but don't worry about it. Don't be fearful. Why? Because he knows that what he is doing is God's will. God's in control. God is with him through this. And the work that he's doing is God's work. Notice, though, he never promised Ezekiel that he wouldn't go through hard times accomplishing that work. And that's the same for our lives. As I was speaking to you a little earlier, we're never promised that accomplishing God's will in our lives will be easy. We're never promised that it will be safe. We're never promised that we won't endure persecution. Never. God makes it clear what's to come. But he also tells them that in God we can have strength and to lean on him. Now, this is all so far we've been speaking about God's word living through us, right? About what we can do to respond to God's word and to take that word and do as Ezekiel did, to stand and to take it and to go, right? God's word living through us. But now we get to the second part. Because of, and it's strange, too, the way I did this. Perhaps I could have done it differently, but we come now to the part of God's word living not through you, but in you. It is important to understand that if God's word is not first living within, it cannot live through. And so we come now to the second part of the message, which talks about God's word living in us. But really, this is the beginning, because without this, you can't have the first. You can't have God working through you if God isn't in you. And you'll see this come to light here as we get to the through to Ezekiel. We may run a little late tonight. So come with me and let's read verses 8 and 10 primarily. Verses 8 and 10. You're thinking, well, only two verses and we may run late. Well, we may. We got a lot to talk about in here. The Word of God is deep. We can talk for a long time on two verses, folks. All right. So 8 through 10. It says, "But thou, son of man," there he uses that title again, right? And he's reminding, we'll just talk about this now. Okay, so we see this title, son of man, used other places in the Word of God, don't we? Now, the important thing here is that he's making sure that he addresses it. Notice he hasn't called him Ezekiel this whole time. Every time he refers to him, he calls him son of man. Well, I wonder why that is. Do you know what that implies? Basically, he's just calling him man. In other words, God is letting him know, this is who you are. You're a man, but I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. He's making sure that that Ezekiel understands who he's talking to in the span here. He says, "Be thou, son of man, or but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee." Now, before we go on, let's just talk about verse 8 there. That's a powerful statement for our lives. And we're going to get right down to the application for it here. Just prior in the verses that we read coming up to this, we see God declaring and explaining to Ezekiel that the people that he's going to go to are a rebellious people, and that they're rebellious to this very day. But note what he says to him before he sends him out. He tells him who he's going to, and he tells him, this is what you shall say. But before he actually goes, God gives him instruction. He says, be not like that rebellious house. In other words, what he's saying to him is he's basically warning him not to be like the rest of Israel, to take the word of God, which he's going to give him, and let it live within Ezekiel so that Ezekiel is set apart and is different. And that's what we're called to do. We're not called to come to the church. We're not called to study the word of God, to hear preaching, and allow it to come into our ears, skip right over our heart and go right out the other side, which is basically what was happening with the nation of Israel. As I said, they knew the scriptures. They knew who God was, but they weren't living like they knew who God was. And I fear greatly that that's the case for many people in our world today that call themselves Christians. Many of us allow the word of God to come in one ear and right out the other, never allowing it to sink into our hearts and actually change our lives. He was telling Ezekiel not to be like them. Don't just hear the words that I'm giving you and not live by them. Let the word dwell within you. Let it live within you. And there's a plurality here of meanings. There's at least two meanings that I see. There may be others that I don't. And like I said, the first one is the warning that Ezekiel is not to be like the rebellious house of Israel. And maybe it's just because I'm a military guy, but I kind of see it in this way, an illustration of a soldier here. He's basically telling him that, Ezekiel, if you're going to be my soldier, if you're going to be the man that I'm going to work through, right, if you're going to perform my will, then it is important that you obey me, that you do what I'm telling you to do, that you live the way you're told to live, and that you do not the things that you're not to do, which is exactly what Israel was doing. They were doing all of those things. They were doing all the things which they ought not to do. It says, but what you are called to be, perform the work that I give you. And I like that God is telling Ezekiel not to hear his words and fail to act upon it, which is what I was addressing earlier tonight in the very beginning of this message. He's telling Ezekiel not to do what we so often do today. Don't just hear my word and know it's the truth. Don't just acknowledge a change that needs to happen in your home, in your personal life, in the way you react, respond. Don't just acknowledge that you need to change your prayer life. You need to change your study time in the word. Don't just acknowledge you need to change your relationship with your spouse or with your children. Don't just acknowledge that you need to get more involved in the work of the ministry. Don't just acknowledge it and not do it. He says, take my words. Don't be like that rebellious house. Act upon them. Stand upon my feet. Prepare to act on it. That's what he's telling him. So I want to show you an example of something. I'm going to give you an illustration real quick. Hopefully it's good. Don't laugh at me too much. It might be comical for you guys, but hopefully you'll get the gist. And I like to take credit for this, but it's actually a pretty good illustration, so you know that I didn't think of it. I stole it. And I stole it from James. We're going to go to the verse in James where I get this from in a minute. But I'll show you what I'm talking about, and then I'll apply it to the message. Now, when James was saying this, I don't think he was trying to apply it to this message, but I think you'll see the context. So, don't know how well this will work out here. Probably should have thought this through a little better. I don't know if that'll work either. So we'll just hold this up and I'll use my example in front of you guys here. That's a good looking man right there. Talking about Brother Floyd, I can see him right there on the side. All right, what do we got here? I think we got a little smudge there. I probably should put some cream on that. Teeth are kind of yellow. Could probably brush those a little more. Shirt's a little wrinkled. Could probably iron that. How are we looking here? Nose hairs are getting kind of long, folks. I don't know if I'm going to cut those. All right. Well, that's interesting. I'm not going to do anything about it, though. I'm just going to see it. Acknowledge it's a problem. Acknowledge that I need to do something about it. It's not a big deal. It's whatever. So hopefully we're having a little bit of fun here, but hopefully you guys are seeing the point that I'm trying to make. Let me take you to James now, read the scripture that I get this from, and then I'll give you the explanation of the application. And hopefully you'll see where my goofy illustration was trying to take you here. Okay? So in James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. I'll read this for you real quick here. He says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man looking into a mirror. Well, here he's talking about beholding his natural face in a glass, but that's what he's talking about, is a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And so I try to tie these two things together to make the application. And the application is clearly this. And I've been saying it over and over and trying to really beat on this topic, because God is making it clear to Ezekiel as he calls him into ministry that one, he's got work for him to do. Two, that it's going to be difficult. But we see both at the very beginning, his very first words to him were, stand upon thy feet, which is a call to action. And then, after he gives him the work and the warning, his last words to him in his call. So I think it's significant that the first thing God says to him and the last thing God says to him are concerning Ezekiel doing and being prepared to take action upon the word of God. The example that I gave to you guys there is basically the same thing that James is talking about. I can look in the mirror and I can acknowledge, which, and here when you're saying looking into the mirror, that's an illustration being used for hearing the word of God and the truth being said in front of your face to be able to see and to be convicted of what's going on in our lives. Yet to, after we acknowledge it, to do nothing about it. And this is why so many people the world over, and myself at times, I've done this, to acknowledge that there's a change, there's something I need to work on. And because I haven't really been trying to work on it, really haven't been prayerfully dedicating myself to doing the right thing at times, I'll find myself years later and I'll be going, man, I've been struggling with this for a long time. Why am I still here at the same place I was when I was convicted, you know, 2 years ago sitting in that pew? One of the things I'll share with you that exactly happens to me with this, as a father, I'm often convicted over the amount of time that I spend with my kids, real time. It's convicting to me. I often sit down and I think to myself, man, it gets so busy, and we all get busy, and I allow life to get so ahead of me to where I say, man, I wish I had a better relationship with the kids. There's so many of them. I wish I got time with all of them. Or I'll say, man, you know, I really don't talk to mom and dad as much as I ought to. I'm really going to miss them when they're gone. I should really do something. I should act on that, not allow life to get ahead of me. I see the word of God saying to you know, to invest and to do all of these things in the time in the household. And sometimes I look and I go, have I done that? Am I any farther today in that walk, any closer to the image of God that I'm called to be than I was a year ago when this message first convicted me? And that's just a small example that we all, I think, can relate to in different ways, different things that we all deal with, different things that we're all working with at different places in our lives. So that's the application that I want us to get from this, is that before God's word can live through us, it first has to live in us. But both are pending upon one thing. Both God's word living in us and God's word living through us is dependent upon our willingness and our faithfulness to stand upon thy feet and be ready to take into action the word which God calls us to live by. It's one thing to see that the changes need made. It's another thing entirely to do them. Now, let's look at our last two verses, 9 and 10, and then we'll come to the close. It says, and when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentations and mourning and woe. Now, I think it's important for us to note, you may or may not know this, when he talks about the roll of a book, he's talking about a scroll, okay? Now, it's important, the description that he gives us of the scroll, that it's written within and without. In other words, front and back is what he's trying to tell us. That's a way of saying it's written front and back, it's covered in writing. Now, this is an unusual description of a scroll, because anyone who's ever seen a scroll, if you take a look at them, they're only written on one side, and then they're rolled up. So that in order to read more, you must unfurl the scroll. So there's only one side of a scroll that's ever written on. The imagery that we see here of the scroll being written on the front and the back, within and without, speaks of the severity, the seriousness of the woe and the lamentation that's to come. It's talking about it's so great that one side was insufficient. All right, that's the ideology that's trying to give, the illustration is trying to make, that this is severe. What's coming is not going to be brief. It's not going to be light. It is going to be heavy lamentation and woe. And that's what it's describing to them here. Now, before we close, I'd like to take you to one final verse. It's outside of the book of Ezekiel. But I think it does a good job at summing up the overall principles of our lesson tonight. And that is, of course, in Deuteronomy. If you would please turn me to Deuteronomy, go to chapter 6. And we're going to tie this in here because it ties right in along. I think it beautifully illustrates, in words better than I have, to describe our primary lesson tonight. So Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7 is what we're going to read. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 and 7. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And you may be wondering why I brought you to this verse, being that we're speaking of Ezekiel and his call into ministry and the way God was going to use him as one of our major prophets. The reason is that the application for tonight's lesson is on us taking God's word seriously, being able and being ready to stand and to act. And though these are the words in Deuteronomy that he speaks unto Israel, they apply very much for us today as the people of God. And this is not an expectation which passes over us. Note that it says the very first part, these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Not simply words that you know in your head that you've memorized or that you read today, but the fact that they're in your heart means that they affect who you are and how you live. The man or the woman that you are in your real life, in your walk and in your relationship with God. Note the way in which we're supposed to live if we're going to stand, as Ezekiel's called to be, to stand upon our feet, to be ready to act. It says, thou shalt teach them diligently, is the descriptive word that we have here. Shall teach them diligently to thy children, meaning continually, powerfully, faithfully teaching them. You shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Continually, our lives should be reflecting on and trying to live by the word and the will of God. In doing that, that is what it means to have the word of God living within you. And in doing that, the word of God will be powerful in living through you. And the effect that you have on those around you, on the world, and the impact that you have for God's glory and for God's will to be accomplished through your life and in your life. It all comes down to us living for Him, not being rebellious, to do as He called Ezekiel to do, to not be like that house. Join me as we close out in prayer. Lord, we thank you for the word that you sent us through Ezekiel. Father, we thank you that the focus has been put on making clear that your word is a living word that lives through us, and that before it can live through us, Father, it must be alive within us. That, Father, we're to stand and to be ready to act, to accomplish your will. Father, we pray that you would help each and every one of us here today to be attentive to your word, to know your word, Lord, to live your word, to be men and women who are holy and fully devoted to you, Lord, who are, Father, ready to serve and to go where you call us to go, to do as you call us to do. Father, do not let us to have a rebellious heart. Father, help us to be convicted of those things that, Lord, we all need to address in our lives. You know what they are, Lord. Help us to see them clearly. Lord, help us, give us the strength to act on them, Father, that you would be well pleased. Father, we pray that you would use us in a mighty way, that you'd be glorified, that you would, Father, send us out and give us the words to speak and walk us down the paths that we're to walk to come into contact with those who need you, Lord, with the way that which we can be used for your will. Father, we pray these things that you'd be glorified and that we'd be blessed. We pray for our church family, those that are here tonight and those that couldn't be here tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.